Things I like about Yeshua from the book written by Matthew. Part 2. Many interesting people have lived during the past 6,000 years. My brother-in-law David loves reading biographies. I used to when I was younger. I read several biographies, but have stopped doing that. But David likes reading biographies, learning about some of those interesting people and the interesting things they have said and have done. Of all the people who have ever lived, I am most interested in one, Yeshua. There are so many things I like about him. Here are some of those things that come from the biography written about him by his disciple Matthew. I like Yeshua's parables. They're simple and easy to remember. They help me understand important truths about the way God works. I especially like the parable about the seed and the soils and the sower. It helps me understand that sharing the good news is very important. And that over time, people will respond to the gospel in different ways. I want to be the seed that fell on the good soil. Someone who hears the word and understands it and is changed by it so that his life becomes very fruitful and productive. I like that Yeshua cared for individuals. Everyone was important to him. But he also cared for the large crowds that followed him. I like that he fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and that there was more left over than there was to begin with. That lets us know that Yeshua can meet the physical needs of the entire world. I like that Yeshua walked on water and then enabled Peter to walk on water, when Peter kept his focus on Yeshua and not on the wind. That lets us know that when we keep our eyes fixed on Yeshua, we can overcome all the difficult situations that we will encounter. I like the way Yeshua rejected Jewish tradition when it was wrong, like the tradition of washing hands before eating. This frees me from the domination of Jewish tradition, which harms the lives of those who submit to it. I like that Yeshua made it clear that true religion comes from the heart. And people are in very great danger when the focus of their religion is on rituals and ceremonies, and when God's laws are done in a way that bypasses the heart. I like that Yeshua healed the demon-possessed daughter of the Canaanite woman. Even though he told the mother that his mission was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that it wasn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs, when she replied, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table," because of her faith and because of her humility, he healed her daughter. This foreshadowed God's plan to bring the Gentiles, the peoples from the other nations, into Messiah's great community of salvation, making Jew and Gentile a new united humanity. I like that Yeshua fed 4,000 men, not including women and children, from 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. This again tells me that Yeshua can supply the needs of the entire world. I like that Yeshua was always able to outmaneuver those who opposed him, even the smartest and the cleverest. He is wiser than the wisest, shrewder than the shrewdest. I like that Yeshua could not be manipulated. He refused to perform a miracle when some Pharisees and Sadducees asked him for a sign from heaven. If what we want and ask for isn't right, we cannot manipulate God to do what we want. I like that Yeshua asked his disciples who they thought he was. There's a lot of good questions that can be asked. That may be the most important question of all. Who do you think that I am? In response, Peter gave the God-inspired answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Who do you think Jesus is the question that we need to be asking people. When they answer, where they are right, we agree with them. Where they are wrong, we correct them. Where they are lacking information, we teach them. Remember this when you join us at the Ann Arbor Art Fair, out on the streets wearing your Jesus Made Me Kosher t-shirt and get in a conversation with people. You ask them, who do you think Jesus is? Where they're right, you agree with them. Where they're wrong, you correct them. Where they lack information, you teach them. I like that Yeshua knew what would happen to him in advance. He repeatedly predicted his death and his resurrection. No one else in human history has predicted their death followed by an immediate resurrection and then was resurrected. This makes Yeshua very special. I like that Yeshua knew that God wanted him to suffer and die and knew where and when he would suffer and die in Jerusalem at Passover. And although his suffering and death would be horrible, he submitted to God's will for his life. I want all of us to come to the place where God's will becomes so important to us that we are willing to suffer and die if that is what God wants for us. I like what happened on the Mountain of Transfiguration when Yeshua was changed and his face radiated light and his clothes became shining white. And two of Israel's greatest prophets appeared, Moses and Elijah. And the Father spoke and said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Moses and Elijah are great. Yeshua, God's beloved Son, is far greater. And we must focus on him more than Moses or the law which came through Moses or the prophets. I like Yeshua's love for little children. When people brought little children to him for him to place his hands on them and pray for them and bless them, and when the disciples rebuked them, Yeshua said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." The disciples believed that little children don't have political or economic power, social influence, and giving them Yeshua's precious time and attention was no way to build a great movement. But Yeshua knew better. He loved the little children because they were made in the image of God. because they are inherently valuable because of who they are, not because of what they can do. This makes me want to have a greater appreciation and love for all people, even the youngest and those whom we consider the least significant. I like that when Yeshua's disciples asked him who was the greatest among them, Yeshua placed a little child among them and said, "Unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This frees me from having to try to impress people with my accomplishments and get their approval in order to feel good about myself. This frees me to pursue a simple childlike faith, a simple childlike relationship with my God. I like Yeshua's teaching on forgiveness. When Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Yeshua answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." It's very important to forgive, but not always easy to forgive. It can be very difficult at times to forgive. And we know that lack of forgiveness displeases God and can create problems for the one who refuses to forgive. Yeshua's emphasis on forgiveness encourages me to forgive, even when it's hard for me to forgive. I like Yeshua's position on marriage and divorce, that marriage is a lifelong commitment between a man and a woman, and that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Our society desperately, desperately needs to re-embrace this truth given to us by Yeshua. I like Yeshua's statements about riches. It is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. I like this because most people think that being rich is what makes for a successful life. Yeshua knew that being rich usually does the exact opposite, produces an unsuccessful life. Riches hinder us from following God the way we should and being the kind of people God wants us to be. This liberates me from the desire to want to get rich and frees me to give my time and thoughts and energies to serving God and God's interests. I like Yeshua's teaching about the world's social order being reversed. Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Many are first because they lie, cheat, betray, murder their way to the top. Many are last because they choose the way of honor and integrity. This encourages me to choose the way of honor and integrity and wait patiently until the Lord chooses to elevate me. I like that when the mother of James and John asked Yeshua to seat her sons in the positions of highest honor, he replied, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If anyone was worthy of being served, it was the Son of Man, the perfect and greatest human being. But he did not come to be served, but to serve those lesser than him. And since I want to be like Yeshua, even though my selfish nature prefers to be served more than serve, I will try to serve others more than be served by others. I like that when Yeshua entered Jerusalem, the final week of his life, he instructed his disciples to go to the village ahead of them, and they would find a donkey with a colt and bring them back so he could ride into Jerusalem, fulfilling the Zechariah prophecy, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." A king riding into his capital city, not on a great horse, but on a donkey. This shows amazing humility and summarizes Yeshua's first coming as the humble, gentle, suffering servant. Also, none of the other religions of the world have prophecies written hundreds of years in advance about their founders like we have about Yeshua. That too makes Yeshua very, very special. I like that when Yeshua entered the temple courts in Jerusalem, his final week on earth, he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Israel's leaders intended to kill Yeshua. Going into Jerusalem and then going into the temple was like walking into the lion's den. And then cleansing the temple? That took even more courage. Yeshua is often portrayed as being kind and gentle, which he was, but he was also a very tough and courageous man. I like that Yeshua cursed the fig tree and that it immediately withered. I like this because it was supernatural and because it was a warning to the nation of Israel that we would be judged because the majority had not produced the fruit of believing that Yeshua was the Messiah. In spite of his great teachings and his great wisdom, his many miracles, and his flawless life. I like that using parables, he warned the Jewish leaders who had rejected him that they were bringing disaster upon themselves, and that he was raising up new leaders who believed in him. Messiah's community is the spiritual continuation of Israel and is made up of Messianic Jews and peoples from the nations who have been grafted in. I like that Yeshua quoted the Psalm 118 prophecy and applied it to himself and to the leaders who rejected him. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Yeshua's rejection by the leaders was foreknown by God, prophesied in Psalm 118. And it was God's plan to use the rejection of the leaders causing Messiah to die, which made atonement possible for the whole world. And then resurrect Yeshua and make him the cornerstone, the foundation of a much better world. I like that when some Pharisees and some who were loyal to Herod tried to entrap Yeshua by asking him if it was right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar, thinking that if he said yes, he would alienate the Jewish people who resented Roman domination, or if he said no, he would be guilty of rebelling against Rome. Yeshua outmaneuvered them by having them look at a Roman coin which had the image of Caesar on it and said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." This short, amazing answer helps us have a properly balanced life by teaching us that we are subject to God and have duties to God, and subject to the state and we have duties to the state. I like that when an expert in the Torah asked him, "Rabbi, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Yeshua replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The greatest commandment is being devoted to God. That is our primary responsibility in life. The creator-creature relationship is the most important relationship and comes first before everyone and everything else. And the second greatest commandment is to be devoted to people. What a simple yet profound way of summarizing the many laws of the Torah. I like that Yeshua asked some Pharisees about the identity of the Messiah. And when they responded that Messiah had to be a descendant of David, Yeshua asked them why David called the Messiah Lord, and then quoted Psalm 110. "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" Then Yeshua asked them, "If David calls the Messiah Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? Who is greater than King David and sits victoriously at the right hand of God the Father, waiting for God to defeat his enemies so he can rule over Israel and the nations? Who is greater than Israel's greatest king and worthy of being called David's Lord? Not an angel, not King Saul who came before David, nor any of David's descendants who came after David, nor any of the leaders of the nations of the world, not any human being. That leaves only one possibility. David's Lord must in some way be God." Everyone knew that the Messiah had to be a descendant of David, but no one understood that Messiah would also be divine. No one, that is, except Yeshua. Yeshua understood that he is the Messiah and is fully God and fully man. This unique God-man is uniquely able to save human beings and lead the world. This too makes Yeshua very, very special. I like that Yeshua was very kind and loving and patient with ordinary people, but could also be very tough. And he was particularly tough with the religious leaders who opposed him and who were entrenched in legalism and unbelief. 7 times he said to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." This teaches us to be gentle with those who need our gentleness and to be tough with those who need our tough love. I like that Yeshua gave his disciples signs so that we could know that his return was getting close. This encourages us to always be alert and ready and watching for his return, faithfully serving him until he returns. I like that Yeshua's last day on earth was Passover. His last meal, a Passover Seder. That he connected the Passover to himself and gave the matzah and the wine new meaning about himself. I like Yeshua's struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane. This teaches us that he was a real man who did not want to suffer a horrible death, yet was willing to experience that horrible death if that was what God wanted. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup of suffering, be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Wow. May I come to the place where God's will becomes more important to me than my will, and I'm willing to put the will of God ahead of my own will, even if it means suffering for me. I like that when Yeshua was on trial before the Sanhedrin, he remained strangely silent. And then, when the high priest demanded he tell them if he was the Messiah and the Son of the God, Yeshua replied, "You have said so. From now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Wow, that took tremendous courage to make that powerful and truthful declaration in front of the Sanhedrin. I like that when Yeshua was on trial before the Roman governor, he again remained strangely silent. Finally, when Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Yeshua replied, "You have said so." That was a smart and courageous and truthful answer. I like that the charge against him that was written and then hung on his cross was, "This is Yeshua, the King of the Jews." He is the King of the Jews. The world didn't like Jews or the King of the Jews 2,000 years ago, and the world doesn't like Jews or the King of the Jews today. Sadly, most Jewish people also don't like the King of the Jews. The truth is that Yeshua is the King of the Jews, and believing in him is the most Jewish thing any Jewish person can do. I like that after being beaten and humiliated by Roman soldiers and then crucified and then buried, Yeshua came back to life. That makes Yeshua very, very special. Yeshua's resurrection lets us know that Yeshua has God's seal of approval. Yeshua's resurrection validates Yeshua and all of his teachings and his life and his ministry. Yeshua's resurrection makes him absolutely unique and puts him on a level far higher than any of the prophets of Israel or any other religious leader. And Yeshua's resurrection makes it possible for those who become loyal to Yeshua to be resurrected. I like Yeshua's final words to his disciples that Matthew recorded. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's a lot of authority. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, the risen, all-powerful Lord of heaven and earth commands us to continue his mission of world evangelism, and that he will be with us, helping us to do so now and to the end of the age. And when our mission is complete, he will still be with us forever. These are some of the things that I like about Yeshua from the biography written about him by his disciple Matthew. Yeshua is the most interesting, the most amazing, the most important person who ever lived. Do you know him? Are you following him the way you should be? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please give us a greater love for Yeshua.